Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and thank you for joining my weekly teleclass. And this is where I will be giving a short talk on a topic around spirituality and consciousness and awakening to our infinite nature. And then I will be giving information about the science of the cards or cardology. And I'll be giving free readings to those who would like to experience the card system. But first, as always, I'd like to start off with a short prayer just to anchor the energy. So if you could just briefly close your eyes and just get comfortable and just become aware of the breath and take in these words. We ask for support in consciousness and assisting us in awakening and opening our hearts and inspiring and empowering us to experience the truth about ourselves. We ask for support in feeling our connection with the essence of everyone and everything in the universe at all times, so that we can truly know and feel we are one. So taking all that in, and so it is. The topic for today's class is going to be on polarities. And I remember when I first really understood the importance of polarity, it really did shift my perspective dramatically. And as I'm talking about this, just to realize that really, as much as I can, I'm speaking in metaphors, because we can't really comprehend this with our human conscious mind. So we can really get more of a sense of it through our feeling. Because all of this is really happening on a mystical level of our being, and we can't really get it through thinking. So just feel it and trust your own deeper knowing as I talk, and just allow what comes to you to come to you. Okay, so this is sort of like my take on this sort of setup of why we're here in this earthly human experience in this realm. So it goes something like this. All that is, God or Allah or the field or whatever name we want to call it, knew intellectually and knew conceptually that it was all there was. But this was only a thought. It's not an experience, not a experience of feeling and of being. And on the scale of intensity, feeling is much more powerful than the experience of thought. Okay, so everybody's had, I'm sure, a slice of apple pie. So think about apple pie, okay? Now, remember what it's like to actually eat an apple pie. Remember the experience, the feeling of the apple pie, the sauce and of the apple pie and the texture and the taste on your tongue, and just the whole experienceness, the deliciousness and the pleasure of it. And that's feeling. So feeling is a whole nother level than thinking. So we could say God wanted to know itself fully in its utter magnificence, in its aliveness, in its essence, not just think about it, but to really be it and to feel it. So in response to that, this reality was created. And I'm going to quote something from Psychanics for Conversations with God, which is a book by Thomas Michael Power that I highly recommend. And so he's talking about this very thing that I just spoke about. So here it is. And this quote is speaking as if it's God speaking. My greatest desire is to experience myself as what I am. I can only do that in the space against the contrast of what I am not. So I have carefully created the illusion of what I am not so that I can experience what I am. To remain in the state of sublime oneness with the all would eventually make it impossible to experience being there. The total bliss of oneness cannot be experienced as total bliss unless something less than total bliss exists to provide the contrasting field and relativity. Thus, I must give a part of myself to the lesser and illusory experience of not being myself so that the rest of me can experience itself as God. The most magnificent experience of all time is the realization of our divine self. In order to have this realization, you must first have the experience of not being your divine self. Thus, created reality is a world of polarity, of relativity. End of quote. So we've created polarity in order to have experience. A polarity is an idea created for experience that has been sort of, it's stretched into two opposing directions, towards two extreme poles, cold, hot. This creates a range of experience between the two, light and dark, big and little, hard and soft, the color spectrum, for example. So experience is not really possible unless you really have some experience of at least two distinct points on this gradient scale. For instance, if everything were purple, we would have no concept of color. There would be no distinctions of one color from another color to have a differential of experience. If everything were purple, you could not see forms or shapes because both the foreground and the background would be the same color, and there would be no contrast to make a figure visible. So without polarity, huge qualities of experience would not really exist. So here are some laws of polarity. And once we really understand the laws of polarity, we can really navigate here in this created reality much easily. Okay, and so this just gives us wisdom about our experience. So first law of polarity, both poles must exist. You can't have one side without the other side. You can't have positive without negative. Okay. Two, you can know and appreciate one side only to the degree that you've experienced the other side of the spectrum. For instance, when you're sick, you can really appreciate being well. You can most appreciate a warm house when you come in from a blizzard. And you can most appreciate air-conditioned room when you come inside from the heat. I live in Miami, and it's been like in the 90s every day. And actually, our AC went on the blitz about a week ago, and boy, I'm telling you, it was like, I mean, it's since been fixed, but I really, really could appreciate, you know, the value of the AC because it's been so hot. And so, and I go out during the day, and I come in, and when that cool, when I walk into this cool room, I really appreciate the air conditioning, but I can really mostly appreciate it because I've had the experience of the heat. And another example is likewise, you can really savor the richness, the yumminess of love when you've had an experience of negative emotions or negative love or hate, as one would say, okay? So appreciating one side, we can really appreciate to the degree that we've had an experience of the other side of this spectrum. And last law, and this is perhaps the most important one, okay, and I think this is really the reason, this will really explain what we're doing here, okay? To continue appreciating any polar experience, you must occasionally go to the other side of the polarity to refresh your experience of the other side. It's like you must alternate polarities. An example would be if you stayed in a warm room for too long, you would lose consciousness and appreciation of the warmth of that room. You would lose that from when you first came in from the cold outside. And if we actually stay in any one experience too long, our senses kind of come, they become dull to it. It becomes our ground of being, and it becomes dull to it. So if we don't experience the negative polarity for a long time, then we really lose appreciation of the positive. So in a sense, that's what we're doing in relationship to God. We as humans, we're alternating polarities. We've left, you could say, metaphorically, we've left the warmth of heaven and gone into the valley of tears of the physical universe. We have left the one to become the many, so that we could return afresh to the experience of the one. So this is sort of the dance that we're playing. And when I discuss polarities from now on, I'm really going to be focusing on and concerning myself with our non-physical experiences of polarity. Last week I talked about identities. I talked about essence identities. So the polarities that I'm going to be talking about from here on out really are essence polarities, namely the essence, so I would say God essence is wisdom, value, power, and love, okay? And so the polarities of those would be wisdom. So what's the polarity of being wise? Well, I'm stupid, okay? Powerful. The opposite polarity would be powerless, a victim, weak. And of love, really, love is happiness, so the polarity of that would be unhappiness. And valuable is another essence, how I esteem myself, I'm valuable. Or the other pole of that, would, I'm worthless, not good enough. So in order to really have an appreciation of our true God essence self, we create polarity. And we create part of ourselves. It's like we extend a part of ourselves down into this physical realm, which we have created, which is our created reality. And I was remembering that movie Avatar, you know. So you could say, like, our human self is like our own avatar for our higher self, our expanded self. And so we create a part of ourselves and extend it down into this created reality, this human reality. And we create this part of ourselves, this human part of ourselves, to seemingly be, I mean, because we can't really be, but it's seemingly, we forget, we put ourselves into a trance. We seemingly, it's seemingly other than the essence of God, which is other than powerful, wise, and loving. So we create ourselves to be not wise, not powerful, not a cause of anything. This is all just happening to us, and a lot of times not loving. And we do this by creating negative identities, negative essence identities. You could say we counter-create from our original essence, and we do that through the creation of these negative identities and patterns. And these patterns and these identities eventually begin to block out the truth of who we are. And this is how we put ourselves into a trance. And this is a human being mostly asleep to his or her true nature. And so this is the point or the reason that we create polarities. And without polarities, you wouldn't have the opportunity to have experience. And really, God really wants to experience itself in many different ways, or all of itself. And so this is all for the purpose, really, of, in the end, creating the polarity, this created reality, to be able to expand back into our original essence. And in doing that in this particular created reality, we actually get the opportunity to enjoy playing in the cosmos, to experience ourselves in all kinds of forms and experiences, and to have the challenge and the adventure and the drama. Yes, I said it, the drama. We kind of love drama of journeying back to God. And to be able to, once we journey back to God, to really be able to appreciate, appreciate, after having these experiences of the negative side, we get to appreciate and celebrate being God again, the beautiful, powerful essence of who we are. So that's my talk on polarities. And next week I'm going to talk about how we actually create these negative identity realities and sort of put ourselves into a trance. So I hope that this has been helpful. And probably after, in a month or so, what, instead of doing a topic, I'm going to have a question and answer part. So you could be thinking about some questions you may have about any of the topics that I will be discussing. And I will announce that on the class before I actually have that class, so you have plenty of time to prepare. But you might want to, if any questions have come up, you might want to jot them down and then be able to ask it at that time. Okay, so now we're going to move into the science of the cards. And so, again, for those of you who are new, and I like to hear this a number of times, the science of the cards, or cardology, is this ancient system for which our deck of cards was created. And it's thought to have been originated in Atlantis. We know for certain it goes back to Egypt, to this esoteric school known as the Order of the Magi. And it's only been recently that this information has been come to light for common man, okay? And so how does this work? Well, every day of our year is governed by planetary energies. And so every day is governed by one of the 52 cards of a common deck. Actually, it's 53. I don't think I mentioned this last time. 53rd card is the Joker. There's only one birthday that has the Joker, and that's December 31st. And we don't really read for that card because that card, the Joker, can actually become any card it wants. It can take on any of the characteristics of any of the other cards. And it's really interesting. I mean, some famous Jokers would be like the if anybody knows the actor Anthony Hopkins. And if you see him in Rose, he really takes on these characteristics of different characters, and he becomes these characters, and you really can't even tell how old he is. Sometimes he plays characters and they're really young, and other times they're old, but he really embodies it. Another one is Val Kilmer. I don't know if anyone saw that movie, The Saint. It was on the other day, and I actually saw it. And in this movie, he played all these different roles, and he had all these different disguises, and he was just really great at it. So they're 52 cards, 53 with the Joker. So anyway, every birthday is governed by one of these cards, and each of these cards really has a life path. It really energies that are present, and it's as if we've chosen to be born on that particular day because we knew that inherent in that day were particular patterns, both negative and positive, and things that we wanted to sort of work with or just experience and explore in this lifetime. Because each of the patterns has karmic influences on them, in them. So every day is governed by a card. And then also, too, there's usually every person has another card, which is a planetary ruling card. And this ruling card is one of the cards in our life spread. And it's really the card of how we most express ourselves. And, for instance, today is June 29th. Today is my sister Lisa's birthday, actually. And so if you were born today on June 29th, your birth card would be an Ace of Clubs, and your ruling cards would be a Three of Hearts. An Ace of Clubs is someone who's an initiator who loves to learn new knowledge. Clubs is dealing with the mind and mentality. You love to learn new knowledge. And Three of Hearts is relationships. It's also art, being very artistic. And Three of Hearts would be someone who would be very, very creative artistically, or also too alternatively, or probably some of both. It would be someone who would like to experience or explore diversity and love. So that's just a little bit about someone who might be born today. And I thought I would let everybody know what my birth card is. My birth card is an Eight of Diamonds, and I have a Ten of Spades ruling card. So something about me is Eight of Diamonds. Well, first of all, an eight is a power card. That means that they have the ability to really focus energy, and they can really take energy. You know, energy, you could say, is something that's uncontained, but eights have the ability to really take that energy and focus it on one particular thing. And so an Eight of Diamonds has the power to really focus their energy on things that are important to them, that things that they value, and on the money. And in fact, with Eight of Diamonds, if there's a family and there's a child who's an Eight of Diamonds, the parents will usually leave the Eight of Diamonds person in charge. In their will, they'll state that the Eight of Diamonds will be the executive of the will, because they know that the Eight of Diamonds really knows the value of everything, and they can are really good at managing other people's monies. Not necessarily maybe so good at their own, because they're big spenders. They like to spend money. And Eight of Diamonds also is called the Sun card, because it sits at the top of the grand solar spread. So in that way, they're really destined to be a leader. They wouldn't be happy not being a leader. And in some ways, you could say they're royalty. So it sits in the crown line. And so it makes them very independent, and they like to shine. So, yeah, I like to shine. And they have two threes in their life spread, and threes are creativity, and it's a variety. So they could be a little fickle in love and maybe be serial monogamous and that kind of thing, but they're very powerful, and they really light up the rooms wherever they go. And Ten of Spades, that's my ruling card, and this card, a ten, is also a very powerful card. A ten of spades is a super achiever. They're the most ambitious card in the deck because they have an ace of spades in Mars. And if you put an ace of spades is the desire for work, and if you put that in Mars, which is action, you get this super keg of a person who really can work. They're like a super achiever, super worker. They can outwork a lot of people. And they can also go to extremes at times. And I can have a tendency to go to extremes at times. But ten of spades also evenly have a desire for family and home because of their karma cards are both cards of marriage and family. So they have these sort of this real urge to work and be successful and to be out in the world and to achieve things. They have an even desire for home and family, and sometimes this can be sort of something that they have to work through. Sometimes they'll do one and then not so much other, and then they'll switch and do one. So you'll find them really having a challenge of trying to juggle both of them at the same time. So that's a little bit about my cards. I thought I would share that with you so you can kind of get more of a feeling for how the cards work through me. And I remember when I really found this information, and I read the descriptions of these cards for myself, it was like, oh, wow, okay, yeah. It really helped me to own, you know, these gifts I have as well as the challenges that I came in here with. And in that way, it really, as I really began to honor myself, it really helped me to be able to hold these aspects of myself and my life and my personality. And it's made it easier for me to just be able to move forward. And instead of fighting myself, I began to really work in concert with myself. So that's a little bit about the cards. And I guess right now I will check to see if there's anyone on the line who would like a reading. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to unmute the conference. And if you would like a reading, just say your name. You only have to say your first name, and give me your birthday and your age. And depending on how many people are on the line, I will see how many people I can give readings for. Okay, so I'm going to unmute the call. And if you're on the line and you don't want to speak, then press 4-star to mute yourself, okay? And you can always just toggle back and forth between 4-star to mute yourself and to unmute yourself. Okay, so just a minute. Okay, hello. Is there anyone on the line who'd like a reading?
Hi, Janice. Hello.
Hello. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Clarissa. It's Therese.
Hi, Therese.
Hello.
How are you, dear?
I'm well, thank you. First of all, I just want to say thank you for having you know, these series of talks, and your talk on polarity this morning was really terrific and helped me to appreciate, you know, when we experience something, how much more we appreciate the other side of that polarity, you know, and that was very helpful to me, and I'm very eager to listen to last week's call as well. I missed that call.
I'm so glad to hear your voice. I miss you.
I miss you too.
Oh, dear. And, well, thanks for just being here to share in my offerings. I really appreciate that. It's nice to have someone to receive.
Yes, absolutely, and thank you for this. I was excited. I was excited to get on the call this morning.
Okay. All right, would you like a reading?
I would.
Okay, what's your birthday?
It's April 27, 1964.
Okay, 64. And so that would make you how old?
46.
46, okay. Well, let me just check to see if there's anyone else who'd like a reading. Is there anyone else on the line who'd like a reading?
Sure, if there's time. It's Jennifer.
Okay, and your birthday? And I'm asking for people. Okay.
2/11/47, and I'm 63 years old.
Okay, Jennifer. All right, so I'm going to work with Therese first. So if you could press 4-star to mute yourself, and I'll call you when I'm ready for you.
Okay.
Okay? All right, Therese?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Clarissa?
Uh-huh.
I did 4-star, and it said invalid. I'll try it again.
Yeah, try it again. Sometimes it does that.
Okay.
Therese?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, okay. Let's work together here. So, okay. April 27th,
mm-hmm.
that makes you, your birth card is a 7 of clubs, okay?
Okay.
And your ruling card is a queen of spades. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is kind of give you descriptions of your birth and your ruling card, and then if you have a question about anything that's going on with you, I can look in your spreads for the year and see if I can get any information that might be helpful for you and helping you make a decision about something, okay? So,
right.
But first, and since we have 2 people, so we have plenty of time, okay?
Okay, great.
So, 7 of clubs. First of all, a 7 is a spiritual number. There are 2 spiritual numbers in this system in the deck, and it's the 7 and the 9. So your birth card is a 7, and you could say with 7s, they sit smack dab in the middle of the number, because there are 13 numbers. From ace to the king is 13, and 7 sits right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So with 7s, a lot of times, you could just imagine, you know, being in the middle. It's almost as if they're straddling, you know, the mundane world and the spiritual world. You know, they kind of go back and forth, you know, a lot of times. I don't know if you've experienced that, but so they have this ability to kind of tune in and tap into the spiritual, but then they also kind of really feel the mundane, and they kind of go back and forth. So they can have the, and especially with 7 of clubs, a club is anything to do with the mind and the communication and mental thinking. Mm-hmm. So it's as if 7 of clubs, they have sort of like the special ability to access the mind of, say, the field or the mind of God, okay? But then they also go into fear, you know, because they go into the mundane world, and they can be very depressed. So they can go from spiritual thinking to negative thinking. You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. That describes very much how I'm experiencing life, especially right now.
Yeah. So, you know, it can be sort of like challenging, you know, to have 1 foot in the mundane world and 1 foot in a place where everything is possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can go from this carefree, inspired, mentally illuminated place, right, of the divine, and then, you know, then switch to being skeptical and mentally just negative, okay?
Yes.
So that's sort of like what the 7 of clubs has to walk through. And so you'll experience both sides of this many times, and your challenge is really to develop the enlightened side of you more, okay?
Oh, wow.
That's really what you come here to do with this, you know, you decided coming in on this day with this particular set of patterns to really develop that side of you more, okay?
Wow.
And
Very helpful. That's very helpful, Krista. Thank you. Wow.
So good. And you also have a gift of creativity. I don't know if you knew that about yourself, but you have a gift of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, because remember I talked about my birth card being an 8 of diamonds? Well, you have a secret relationship with desire for fame and recognition. Your first karma card is an 8 of diamonds, and that's the card that the energy that represents what we've come here to use or to demonstrate in a healthy, positive way. And so some seven of clubs could have a desire for fame because the eight of diamonds sits at that sun spot, and it's at the very top in the very sun position, which is everybody sees them. So so you could have that. And also, too, on the, you know, integrating, you could possibly like to spend money, you know, because eight of diamonds like to spend money. And so it would be wise to just know that about yourself. No, okay, well, there's a part of me that likes to spend money. It can kind of get out of hand, so I just really need to take care with my finances. Really be good about that. Now, you also have a Jack of Spades as your second karma card. And this is a very, this is like the creative part of you. Like a Jack of Spades, you know, is, like you say, the Jack of Spades. Spades is like everything to do with, it's everything. It's our lifestyle, it's health, it's work. And so you have creativity and abundance, creativity in spades, right? Okay, it's also like it represents so many things. It's the artist card, it's an actor's card, and it's also the card of the spiritual initiate. So there is one way to be demonstrating itself is the part of you that likes to really go into the spirituality, really to delve into that. Now, on the kind of challenging side of the Jack is they're so creative and so resourceful. The Jack of Spades also represents on its, you know, most negative use of it. It could be a thief, okay? So, but it's all in how you are actually utilizing the energies of it, you know. So you could see that particular card has so much creativity that it could just range from so many things. So that's describes your birth card. So just really being challenged, you know, to, you know, really work with the tendency to kind of, when you straddle the mundane, to go into the negativity, and you're here to learn how to really develop the enlightened part of your mind and to, you know, watch your finances. And if you have a desire for fame and recognition, all you have to do is recognize that. You just have to know that about yourself. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be sort of secret, you know.
Yeah.
And
can it be something like wanting acknowledgement, wanting to be acknowledged?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of us want to be acknowledged. I mean, I think that's part of being a human being. But so what I would do is I would, like, investigate this in yourself. Like, I would, like, okay, so I would investigate that in myself and see if there's anything underneath it, that if there's anything even more underneath it. And what I would do is if there is, I would just honor it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I would honor instead of, like, being sort of maybe either ashamed of it or thinking it's bad, or I would just say, oh, yeah, well, that might be fun, you know, to experience this life and just, you know, cause there's nothing wrong with fame. You know, I think it just gets out of hand when we don't really acknowledge it and it kind of goes unconscious. And then we do things, you know, out of that unconsciousness. And then it's just sort of run amok.
Yeah, I could experience a celebrity lifestyle. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, you know, you could just like be, you know, like Paris Hilton. She's eight of diamonds. She just owns her. Yeah, she's I'm famous. I'm rich and famous. Ha. She's making the most of that, honey. So. You know, nothing wrong with it, you know. It's just, so I'm saying all this just to help you to begin to understand yourself. And when you understand yourself, then, you know, that's really the beginning of wisdom, you know. And then you can really now then take that knowing and wisely apply it to your life. And wisely apply it to the directions in life or the decisions that you make that are really going to be in alignment with who you are. And what you came to experience and express in this lifetime. Okay. So that's your birth card, okay? Now, your ruling card is the Queen of Spades. And a lot of times people relate more to this card than they do their birth card. So I'm going to give you the description of the Queen of Spades. And you can kind of see if you kind of relate to this more. Now, and usually what happens is, you know, people are expressing different part aspects of themselves through the different cards, like, so your spades, like spades is work and health. So probably maybe you would be utilizing more of your Queen of Spades energy in your work. You know what I mean? And maybe like the seven of clubs would be how you actually go about just your day of thinking and how and just how you process information and sort of what kind of negative patterns or even positive patterns you might be using to make decisions. So I'll just give you the description of the Queen of Spades, and you can kind of see how you want to work with this. Okay. So first of all, you're a queen. That's royalty, all right? So, you know, with being a queen, okay, so you got that Eight of Diamonds, first karma card, and then you're a queen. So, yes, yes, dear, you're royalty. Own it. So the Queen of Spades is the queen. It's the queen of work. It's the but more than that, it's the queen of labor. Okay, you have an incredible mind because you have the Jack of Clubs sits in front of the Queen of Spades, and so you have a real incredible mind, and that could be used in the communication fields. And again, yours is a rare card too. So because there are two spreads. There is the grand solar spread, which is more like the life spread, and then there's the spiritual spread. Mm-hmm. And in the grand life spread, grand solar spread, the life spread, the Eight of Diamonds sits at the top. Well, in the spiritual spread, the Queen of Spades sits at the top of the spiritual spread. Mm-hmm. So your ruling card is in the sun position in the spiritual spread, okay? And what that indicates is that self-mastery, which is your birthright, because Queen of Spades is about self-mastery, is the highest spiritual accomplishment, okay?
Oh,
so you can rule the world through mastery of yourself, okay? And with this card in this position, you will undoubtedly find yourself in positions of leadership and authority. And if you're not in positions of leadership and authority, there's a way in which you're probably holding yourself back. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So queens are very nurturing, okay, too. They have that nurturing quality. And they're here really to be in service. So they have leadership ability, like queens and kings are leaders, right? And but queens lead in a different way than, say, a king. A queen will lead being in service, you know. They have to be in service to others, okay? And Queen of Spades is queen of work. It's really and you would have, if you have children around you, it's about teaching those children. And queen loves to watch the children grow. They love to nurture them and watch them grow. And like a Queen of Spades would give them a work ethic that's really pure and practical. Okay. It really.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, okay. So this sounds like
that explains. Yeah, that explains. Wow, that just describes. Because I've been, you know, with my 8-year-old niece for a little over 6 months now, and that's how I work with her. That's, you know, when we're doing homework and whatnot, and trying to provide her structure and letting her know that, you know, she can be of excellence with her work and, you know, and being a good friend and so forth.
Mm. Oh, beautiful. So, yeah, there's that queen in you coming out to really nurture this young, beautiful being and having this really positive effect on your niece. That's really beautiful. So you're getting to really experience, you know, that aspect of yourself. That's beautiful.
Wow.
Great. And I think the most important thing about the Queen of Spades that I think I will relay is that, you know, royalty, queen, they have a lot of power. So you have a lot of power. And really the Queen of Spades, since it's about self-mastery, it's about taking this incredible power that you have and instead of using it to affect change outside of yourself, instead of like maybe, you know, trying to get people to do things or you know, push people around or anything like that. It's taking that power and turning it around unto yourself and going within and really working on mastering yourself within. And as you shift and change whatever patterns or identities that are sort of you know, not that are unwanted, that are not giving you the experience that you would like, then through that, through this self-mastery, you actually affect change outside of you.
Hmm.
But it's not by using your power or force outside. It's about taking that incredible power and using that energy, that focus that you have to do the work
yes.
within yourself, okay?
You know, oh, that's – you know what, Clarissa, and looking at that and then looking at the seven of clubs where you see I'm straddling – you know, I think that's where my struggle is right now. It's you know, working within myself and looking to master, being really a leader of self, you know, is how I
yes. Yeah.
And then struggling with sort of the mundanity of everyday life.
Right,
you
yes.
know.
I understand. I understand,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Wow, this is very helpful. It's,
yeah,
it's,
so...
It's, really clarifies a lot of things for me.
Yeah, it's one reason why I love this system, because I think it really helps to understand oneself, you know, and then we don't
yeah.
fight against ourselves. We can use
mm-hmm.
this information to, like, yeah, to get in alignment with ourselves.
Oh, my gosh. I've been really sort of questioning myself and really, you know, questioning myself a lot, and then so a lot of self-doubt has been coming up for me, but just hearing this, I'm getting, you know, this is the life that I chose. This is the path that I chose, and so now I can work with it rather
yes.
than fight myself, like you said. Wow.
Yes, okay. Taking ownership and responsibility. I chose this, and so if I chose this, this must mean I wanted this to work with, and so I'm going to get going, you know. So that's great. That's really becoming empowered. So, okay, I can look at your spreads and see if you have a particular question that you might like some insight about. I'll do my best
okay.
to see if I can see anything in the cards.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, just in terms of work life, that's another thing that I've struggled with, you know, what new direction I should take. There's a part of me that's pulling me towards the nonprofit field again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another part of me that wants to go in a totally different direction, starting my own business and starting my own, creating something of my own, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then feeling paralyzed, you know, straddling those two choices.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of sitting in the middle and feeling stuck.
I see.
Is there anything in the cards that directs me in any one direction?
Okay, so you're 46, and you just had a birthday a couple months
ago.
In April. So with this system, the spreads, so in addition to since you didn't get a chance to listen to last week, in addition to the descriptions of the birth card that kind of give you an idea of what you're here to do, these cards
mm-hmm.
are also quadrated. It's an advanced mathematical esoteric science, but they're quadrated. And to such a way that they then become laid out, and they show a spread of cards for each year of our life. And this system
mm.
is already calculated. It's not like I'm shuffling cards. It's mathematically calculated. And they're like it shows these spreads for, you know, the first 90 years of our life. So I can look at, like, say you're 46, and I can look at age 46 and look at the spreads and see where the energies are. And so basically these cards are just showing energies and opportunities that are present. Now, what you do with them is up to you. But so that's what I just want you to know, that's what I'm going to be looking at as I'm endeavoring to give you some kind of information that will help give you some direction, okay? Okay, so seven of clubs. Let me look here. Let's take a peek. Okay, so so each the spreads start on your birthday. So it's like every year, starting on your birthday, a new set of spreads is calculated, okay? So you had your birthday a couple months ago, and you are 46. Wow, you're displacing the Eight of Diamonds this year. That's the pinnacle position. Remember I said that the Eight of Diamonds sits at the top of your of the life spread? So this is really a year if you to actually get something going, okay? Because you're in that sun spot, which means you'll have attention and recognition. So if you do something, if you start something, it could really potentially be very successful. That's the first thing I see when I am looking at your cards for displacing. It's a really important position. Hold on, let me look at your Queen of Spades.
Okay. I'm back on the line, Chris.
Wait, did you get kicked off?
I did. Okay.
Okay. All right. So you didn't hear anything about your spreads. Okay. So when I noticed your spreads this year, you're displacing the Eight of Diamonds. So that means that it's as if you're sitting in the sunspot for this year. So whatever, I would get going on something.
Okay.
Okay, because if you do that this year, you'll have recognition for it, okay?
Okay.
So let's see if I can kind of help you get some direction about where you want to go. But your long range card is three. She's still there?
Yes, uh-huh.
But your long range card is a five of hearts and a three of hearts. So this is actually a card of move, or a card of changing your relationship status, or change in circle of friends, okay? So has any of that, it just seems like you need a change. So I would say if you were doing something before, probably would be more of having a change would probably be beneficial.
Okay.
Change in your circle of friends, or change from what you were doing, and meeting new people. You got a three of hearts underneath that. That's variety. That's meeting new people, and you got a Jack
right.
of Spades environment, which is this energy blesses. So this is spirituality. So are you interested in doing anything regarding spirituality?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, so that's where I would go if you have any ideas about that. That's what I would do. Now, you do have a Two of Clubs challenge and an Eight of Spades result. This means that the Two of Clubs in its most fearful and challenging places, a lot of fear. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Okay, so you're going to be challenged this year to move through your fear. And it's just almost like a general anxiety. Okay?
Yes, yes,
okay?
Yes.
And so it's really you being able to tap into the field where you know that you are safe, that you're always providing for you. So it's really working through that. And this Ace of Spades means that by the end of the year, you're going to have a complete transformation of your work and even maybe your health. But there needs to be a complete transformation. You've got to let go of something old. It's a death and it's a rebirth. Transformation. Okay.
Wow.
So this is pointing actually to something different than what you have been doing. Okay. And when I look at your Queen of Spades card, you're displacing the Ten of Diamonds. Oh my goodness, Therese! What a great year! I mean, but again, what I remember what I said about the cards don't do anything. It's like you have to really actually take the actions.
Yes, it
shows
yes.
you the energies that are present, that if you align with them, they will completely support you. So I'm saying to you that these energies are present, and if you just, you know, trust yourself, take and trust, you know, what action comes to you to take, just trust your deep knowing, take the action. One step is all that's required at a time. You will be supported. Now, the Ten of Diamonds is the most blessed. You're displacing the Ten of Diamonds, which is you're displacing the most blessed, best blessed position. This means that your wish will come true.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is what you have to do, though. Okay. What is it that you really, I mean, truly, at your deepest level desire? Get in touch with that. Align with that. And take actions on that. And it will happen by the end of the year. But you've got to take action on it. But the energies are supporting, and you have an Eight of Diamonds environment, which means that money will be there for what you need. Eight of Diamonds means that in the spreads is that money for something that you want to purchase will be there. And it's an environment, and so there's a place in which it's almost gifted to you. I don't know how it's going to come, but it's there. So if there's something you want to do, if there's some business you want to start, then you know, the money will be there to do it. And you've got a Jack of Spades result again. Here's this Jack of Spades, definitely something around spirituality, OK? okay?
Interesting. Interesting.
And you have, in your long range is a six of heart. This is a year for you to really kind of get in touch with what you're destined to do. Okay?
Wow.
What are you
wow.
destined to do here? Because sixes are about, well, it's karma, it's fate, but it's also about when they show up in your yearly spreads, it's really about you discovering your destiny and what you're destined to do. And you have a six of clubs and six of hearts in this period. Actually, let me see when this ends. And Mercury. So, again, it's showing up in your spreads. So I would really tune into, you know, that use your seven of clubs to tune into what it is that's in your heart of hearts to do, or ask for shown and revealed to you, and then take action on that. And you're not going to get the whole thing. You're going to get it step by step, but you won't get the next step until you take the first step.
Okay.
Okay?
This is so helpful. This is so very helpful. And just knowing that, you know, my two club challenge is fear, and that, you know, and it's all about really not letting the fear get me, but really be excited. I'm very excited about doing what I really, really, really would love to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and just one more thing before I let you go is you have a nine of hearts challenge. So there's going to be something you're going to be challenged to let go of. And hearts is either relationships or a home. So either letting go of a home, letting go of a relationship, but it's good to let go. I mean, nines are about completions. And for something new to come in, we have to sometimes let go of the old. So just so you know that. And then I just want to encourage you to move ahead, because you've got diamonds in your Jupiter period, and those are the periods where we can make the most money, or it indicates how we can make the most money. You've got a ten of diamonds. That's big money in Jupiter, so it's a benefit to you. And you've got a queen of spades, which is you underneath it, so you actually can make money, and a nine of diamonds, which is fulfillment in money, and a seven of clubs. This is going to be a good year for you if you could just really accept the gifts from the universe. If you can really accept who you are, that you are a child of the divine, that you are one with the field, and that you can open to receive it and open to receive communication and trust that and step out, you'll be supported big time.
Thank you so much. Oh, my gosh.
Can you guys hear me? Can you hear?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Yes.
Denise, I'm just listening to the call, too.
Hi, Denise.
Hi. Sorry
Denise.
To interrupt.
Okay, good. Did you want to say something to Cerise? Or?
Yes, I did. I wanted to say, Cerise, that from what Clarissa said, you have beautiful cards. And I've just had a reading with her, too, and it just opens up the possibilities. And as I was listening to what Clarissa was saying to you, it's the cards are the potentiality, and we have to take the action. Is that what you're saying to us?
Absolutely. Thank you, Denise, for saying that so beautifully.
Yeah. So, and you've got this, from what Clarissa has said, you've got this exquisite potentiality around you.
Mm-hmm.
What we've learned from mastery is, here it is. As we claim what we want, the universe comes up to meet us. And I'm having that experience through Clarissa's help. So go
wow.
for it. Go for it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you just heard it from Denise as well. See how blessed you are?
Yes.
I am so blessed. You know, I was led to this call this morning. I really was.
Oh, you know, beautiful.
I'm so grateful, and I'm relieved. To be honest with you, I feel relieved and excited. There is something that I've been, you know, secretly wanting to do for a very, very long time, and I've been dabbling in it, and you know, and sort of poking my feet into the water kind of thing. But this really gives me the, you know, the impetus to just go right in. So that's what I'll do. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Really. Okay, you're so welcome. Thank you so much, Therese.
Thank you, Denise, too, for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I don't know. I'm thinking about approaching Clarissa and having some sort of support call with you, because, you know, stepping out at this level is something new. At least for me it is. I'm willing to go for it. But there's something so grounded and so positive and so strong about your coaching that I would like to continue to work with you, because this is it. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt this is my time. If not now, when?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I love that song. There's a song by Tracy. I can't remember her name, but that's the title of the song, If Not Now, When? So, yeah. Okay, well, Denise, we'll talk. We'll definitely talk. Okay. And we're coming to the end of the call. I just wanted to know if Jennifer was still on the line. We won't have time for reading, but I just wanted to acknowledge you. Jennifer, are you still there?
Oops. Jennifer.
Jennifer. She may have...
Mute. I have to unmute. I'm still here, and it was wonderful listening to what you did with these, both of these women, actually. And I've had time with you, so I'm very happy.
Okay, well, great. Okay, so that gives us a little bit of time. I want to say another prayer that I love, and I think this sort of encapsulates what I shared earlier and what we've all just experienced here, the beauty of connection, the beauty of just being able to love and support one another. So listen to this and take this in, and then that will be the call, end of the call. So this prayer is called Exaltation, and it's from a book called Conversations with Jay-Z by Grady Clare Porter. I am in total harmony with the perfection of the universe. I absolutely trust that this harmonious perfection acts in, as, and through me precisely as I am in the moment. I deeply know that the action of this harmonious perfection is the sole operating force in the universe. I radically rely on this harmonious perfection to support every moment of my human experience. I unconditionally experience and express the harmonious perfection of the universe in every activity of my life. I exalt in the joyful abundance richly invested in me by the harmonious perfection of the universe. And I gleefully exalt in the extravaganza of unconditional love and support that constantly and consistently surrounds me and all in the universe.
Yes, so it is.
Goodbye, my lovely ladies and men, if there are any men out there and were too shy to say anything. Okay.
Thank you for a wonderful
All right, have a wonderful day,
thank
everyone.
You. Thank you, Clarissa.
Thank
Bye.
You, Clarissa.
Welcome. Bye.
Bye.